الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة، ويا باب نجاة الأمة، ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا، والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا. Lighten your hearts with a loud salawat for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Each and every person should consider and think about how he or she wants to be remembered 50 years from now. All these material accomplishments will dissipate. They will be soon forgotten after our death. After we die, our wealth, our properties are going to be divided. The life insurance, by the time the life insurance is divided over the heirs, they will be forgotten. The only thing that lasts and remains is your spiritual accomplishments, is your spiritual investment in this life, is the change that you did to your own self and to people's life, the difference you made to your life and other people's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. If a person gives birth and gives life and resurrects a single soul of a human being, as if he gave resurrection to the entire humanity. فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. The only real investment that remains for us as an asset after our death, when we go 6 feet under, is the spiritual transformation in our life and people's life. When we make people's life better, when we leave this earth in a better position, safer and healthier for the people who are coming after us. That is the real investment. How many people you can inspire when you sow the seeds of encouragement, when you inspire people to be more righteous, when you inspire fathers to be better fathers and better mothers, better sons and daughters and better citizens. When you enable people, inspire them to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what remains for you. This is what you're going to see visible before you on the Day of Judgment. Your wealth is going to go. you're woke. People are not going even to remember you 2 years, 3 years after your death. Look at the history of mankind. Almost every day, there are hundreds of people who leave us and go to the eternal life. How many of them are remembered? How many? What percentage? Very few. And when you analyze those of you, you find that those made a big change in people's life. They devoted their life for the humanity, for others, to achieve something positive. Many of them, they draw people closer to Allah. They introduced Allah to the hearts and the minds of the people. Allah says to Musa alayhi salam, Ya Musa, we sent you for wasil, not fasil. We sent you to connect people to us, not to disconnect them with us. This is your job. It's to get the people close to Allah. Can you do this? If you do this, this is the real investment. This is what you're going to reap on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sent Imam Ali to Yemen to preach, to invite, to inspire. And he says to him, Ya Ali, listen, I know the terrain is very difficult. I know you are leaving your family here and going to a foreign territory. But Ya Ali, remember, لَإِنْ يَحْدِيَنَّ اللَّهِ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِمَّا طَلَعَتْ عَلِهُ الشَّمْسِ. If through God, the blessing of God, through the blessing and the grace of God, you can invite one person to faith, only convert one heart to faith and piety and righteousness, this is much more rewarding for you than having the entire dunya. If they tell you this earth is your property, you should not rejoice that as you rejoice when you invite someone to Islam. This is a big deal. And therefore, we have to think, brothers and sisters, before you go to bed, always think about what you did throughout the day. Have you made some change in the life of the people around you? Ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question almost every day. Say, are people who are around me better off or worse off because I just passed through their life? Did I inspire people? Did I do something good to them? Ask yourself, evaluate your life in this life. What is your influence on the community? What is your contribution to your society, to your family, to your friends? Are you a positive element? Are you a source of inspiration, enlightenment, hope? You give them hope, or you destroy their life? Or you are a source of discouragement, a source of disappointment? You dismantle people. Do you build them up? Do you build them up or you tear them down? Ask yourself this question. And you can be the best judge. You are the best person to answer this question. Whether you are young or old, ask yourself tonight when you go home, take a pen and paper and look at yourself, your position in your family, your community. How much did you contribute to your community? Are you a positive element in the community or a negative element? Ask yourself this. One of the ulama scholars who used to teach us when we were young in the seminary, he always used to tell us that don't go to bed in the evening before you do something good during that day. Don't go to your bed before you deposit a goodness into the divine accounts. Go to the bank. You know, some of the businessmen, they don't enjoy the day unless at the end of their business hours they go to the bank and they deposit the cash, the money, into their account. That is a very joyful, that is a very rewarding moment for them. They know they did well. Do we deposit something good into our account or not? He used to tell us that if you can help, if you can give money to someone who needs money, if you can give an advice, if you can counsel, even if you don't leave your house, it's a very bitterly cold day, it is snowing, You can't leave your house. Pick up the phone. Call someone who is distressed. Call someone who is sad. Call a person who is disappointed. Call a person who is confused. And inspire them and infuse them with sense of hope, sense of relief. Tell them life is easy. Tell them your future, tomorrow is going to be much better than today. Put your trust in Allah. You energize people. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. And then remember, how do you want to leave this earth? The day you leave it, what reputation you have among your community members? Would they remember you in goodness? Or they may say, Alhamdulillah, he's gone, he's no more here. You have to decide this for yourself. Let me tell you the story that I learned this summer when I was in Sweden. I went to Stockholm to visit Nobel Museum. You all know about Nobel, yes? No, you don't? You know about him. You know about Nobel Prizes. There are 4 or 5 prizes, chemistry, physics, but most importantly, Peace Prize. Why he allocated huge amount of his estate and his wealth to promote peace? What a simple story. Simple incident in his life. When Alfred Nobel, he invented and discovered dynamite, he made a big fortune. He became very wealthy. One day, his brother died. The people mistakenly thought that the guy who was very popular, Alfred, he was the one who died. So they put the obituary of Alfred Nobel in the newspaper. So he reads his own obituary in the newspaper. People thought he died. And he reached the end of the obituary where it says that unfortunately, because of his discovery of the dynamite, he made the earth less safer and more dangerous. So he was saddened and shocked. He said, this is the legacy I need? Yesterday my brother died. I might stay a few years after him. I don't want people to remember me with this bad and evil legacy. I don't want people to say about me that I left the earth less safer because of my own achievements, because of my own discoveries. I don't want to do this. He could not sleep the night. So he was brainstorming what to do to recover this. He knew that he has few more years to live, and he decided that I would never leave this earth before I change the whole situation completely. I want to leave this earth with the best reputation. But he had invented the dynamite, and the dynamite is the cause of explosives, killing, weapons. So he decided to promote peace and reconciliation through the wealth that he has. Never too late. Never too late to recover. He decided to allocate a big amount of his legacy, his estate, his wealth to promote peace. Whoever promotes peace in the world, he deserves the peace, Nobel Peace Prize. And of course, the first prize was about peace. Later on, they added chemistry and medicine and physics and whatever to it. This was his legacy, and today, this is the most prominent prize. All presidents, leaders, world leaders, they aspire to get this prize. Everybody aspires to be one of the winners. And this is how he recovered his mistake. Now ask yourself, of course, unfortunately after his death, many years after his death, the Peace Prize does not go always to peacemakers. Sometimes it went, unfortunately, to warmongers, people who did not deserve to receive it. But the guy, although has nothing to do with that, his intention was a pure. Now ask ourselves, let's ask ourselves, how do we want to leave our legacy among the people? How do we want people to remember us after death? Would they remember us with rahmah, with a blessing? Would they say he died, let's remember him with Fatiha. Let's recite some Quran for him. He did this and that for us. These are his legacies here. He bequeathed us with a better life, with a healthier life. Or we want people to curse us. The choice is left for you, my sister and my brother. This is your choice. It's up to you. Imam Ali alayhi salam has a beautiful hadith in Nahj al-Balagha. Imam Ali says, Ya ibn Adam, kun waqiyya nafsik wa'man laha ma tuhibbu an yu'mana biha ba'da mawtik. O the son of Adam, you have to execute your will. Don't give it to someone else. Don't leave money to your kids and your family members and tell them these are $5 million. When I die and you bury me, then go and build this hospital, this clinic, this library, this orphanage. Don't do this. You have to do that yourself. You have to execute your will. Don't assign it to someone else. Nobody will care about you after your death the way you care about yourself during your life. You design your end. You design your, you write your obituary. Don't let people decide what to say about you. Be the designer of your hereafter. You have control over it now in this life. And thus, brothers and sisters, tonight, I'd like to share with you 3 points, inshallah. Tonight is attributed to a hero in Karbala, one of the biggest heroes, the closest person to the heart of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Do you know his name? The closest person to the heart of Imam Hussein, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. A man of only 33 years old. Only 33 years old. He dedicated his life to serve Islam. He dedicated his life to leave a brilliant legacy, although he was too young. 3 points. We have 3 priorities, whether you are young or old. Listen to me. We have 3 priorities. From now until the moment of death, these are our 3 priorities. There are many priorities, many challenges, but these are the most important ones. And it suits all ages. Number one, self-building. Number two, seeking knowledge. And number 3, production. First, self-building, self-refinement. This is the message of all the anbiya, brothers and sisters. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Self-building and soul-building is the central theme, not only in the Quran. Go to the Old Testament, it focuses on self-building. Go to the Bible, go to the Buddhist teachings, go to any religious teachings today. They focus on self-building, self-nurturance, self-refinement. The key to success and excellence in this life is to be at peace with your own self. It's to establish internal peace. If you cannot establish internal peace, you would never be able to live in peace with anyone else. Peace begins here first, with your own self. This is the first journey of peace. Begins internally. You decide to be a peaceful person. You believe in the peace. Today, if you watch the news, not only today, every day, what do you hear in the news? What do you see in the news? You see that there is an increasing number of war-ravaged areas from the east to the west, Wherever you look, there is a bloodshed. There is disturbance. There is killing. There is conflict. There is political conflict, military conflict, occupation, bloodshed. Why? Do you ask why? Do you know why? Because those who are in charge of war politics, they are disturbed. They are not peaceful themselves. Someone who lacks individual peace cannot create global peace, cannot create international peace. You have to be a peaceful person yourself. Someone who is disturbed, someone who is troubled and confused would not be able to extend your peace. 85% of the permanent members of the Security Council in New York, 85% of the permanent members of the Security Council in New York, in the United Nations, they produce, the five permanent members, they produce 85% of weapons of mass destruction and conventional weapon today in the whole world. The five permanent members, they produce 85%. People who are in charge of peace, people who are endowed with the responsibility of making peace between nations, they themselves, they invite you to war. They sell you weapons. Billions of dollars every day. You hear the news what happened yesterday. Saudi Arabia, they purchased $20 million weapons, not education equipment, not peace equipment from the United States. Weapons. For what? Who's the enemy? Have you ever heard in the history of Saudi Arabia for the last 110 years, the age of Saudi Arabia, the government of Saudi Arabia, have you ever heard about defending Islam, going into war to defend Islam? $20 billion is wasted. So this is the problem. We don't have peace because those who are in charge, they don't believe in peace. Anbiya came not to build skyscrapers for us, not to build malls or airports or bridges or roads. They came as character builders, soul builders. This is the job of the Anbiya. وَالَّذِي بَعَثَتِ الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. They inspire us. They purify us. They tell us that, listen, if you don't establish peace internally, you would not be able to move forward, to progress. This is the very first step, to begin with your own self. Begin inside you with peace. Believe in peace and act towards peace. Then you can bring peace to your community, to your society, to the whole world. That was the job of the Anbiya. Brothers and sisters, most of you are young here. And I really encourage you, since you still have a tender soul, fresh soul, you are easier for change, you are easier for transformation. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is difficult for you. A person like you at your age should never say, I can't. You should take it out of your dictionary, the word I cannot, or the word impossible. Don't ever say this. Everything is possible for you. Everything is doable for you. You can do it. You can change yourself. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to move towards spiritual refinement. And this is the season of Muharram. This is the season of motivation, inspiration. The season of Ashura. Make a vow with Imam Hussein. You want to make it easy? Privately. When you go home, you are by yourself, no one is around you, raise your head, face the Qibla, say, Oh Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, I was your guest tonight. I've been going to your sessions. I've been mourning your martyrdom. I want the reward from you. I want to change myself. I want when the Imam comes, the 12 Imam reappears, inshallah ta'ala, When he looks at people, he says, you come to my child. He points at me first. He says, you are worthwhile. You deserve to be one of my followers. Are we ready for that? Imagine if Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will show up at your house, at your door suddenly, without appointment. He knocks at the door and he says, I want to come inside your house, your room. How much time you give him to enter the house? He tells him, listen, Imam, my room is not ready because all the walls are filled with pictures and portraits of actresses. Britney Spears and this and that. So sorry, my room is not ready for you. My dress is not ready. My makeup is not ready. My house, things that I have in my room, in the fridge. Sorry, stay here for half an hour in the snow. Let me clean up the mess and then you come inside. Don't we say this? Our homes are ready for him? We have to be honest, brothers and sisters. We have to be honest. Be honest with yourself. I ask myself sometimes, am I ready? If he were to come and sit here in my audience, would I say the same things or I try to say other things? Let's be honest with ourselves, with our conduct, with what we say, with what we do, with our intentions. This is the season of a transformation. I ask you, brothers and sisters, this is a must. This is a humble request from a humble servant of Islam tonight. I'm a guest here. I'm going to leave in 4 days. But I leave you with this message. If you are not familiar with the Quran, you have to determine from tonight before tomorrow when you go home, to go and buy Tafsir al-Quran, the interpretation, the exegesis of the Quran. If you understand Arabic, you buy it in Arabic. If not, English, French, whatever language you understand. Try to have it, a complete set of Tafsir, the interpretation of the Quran. And then you go through the Quran, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, from the beginning, right from the beginning to the end. It might take you 5 years. That's okay. That's okay. This is the biggest source of inspiration, the Quran. Imam Ali, before his death, he screams, Allah, Allah, bil Quran, la yasbiqukum bil amali bihi ghayrukum. O my followers, O the one who called yourself Shia, the followers of Ali, the supporters of Ali, take care of the Quran. Don't let others come and implement the light and the teachings of this book, and you Muslims, who have the book among you, you neglect it. Put it on the shelf. Quran and the book of Nahj al-Balagha. Go through the wisdom of Ahlul Bayt. Please, this is a humble request I have. Mothers, buy this as a gift to your kids for their birthdays. This is the best gift. Bring them the Quran. Tell them, I want you. So far, I have given you so many books. Harry Potter's and whatever. This time, I want to bring you a new one, a new wisdom to change your life. Take care of your spiritual needs, brothers and sisters. As I mentioned last night, Allah says in the Quran, Allah promises. This is a very formidable law in the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِ. God would never touch your life, would never change anything in your life. God would never change your state, your condition, unless you take the first step. حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِ. You take the initiative first. You say, God, I'm ready for change. God does not impose change on us. God is a just God. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. We have bestowed on him reason, brain. We made him know what is good and what is bad. Which road is a safe road? Which one is a dangerous one? We left the choice for him. You have to decide. When you are ready for it, come to Allah and say, Ilahi, I am ready for change. Now I need your help. Don't think that Allah will come to you inside your bed, inside your house and bedroom and say, listen, I know you are a lazy person, but I'm going to pull you and force you to be a hard working. God would never do this. This is wishful thinking. إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. So the first step comes upon you. So this is the first priority. Remember, we have a three tonight. One is self-building, soul-building. Second is in-depth education and knowledge, learning. That is the second requirement. Seeking knowledge in Islam, brothers and sisters, is mandatory. Yes, we hear the hadith of the Prophet. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلم. It's mandatory. It's an obligation. An obligation, and the journey to seek knowledge begins in the cradle and ends where? Ends where? In the grave. طلب العلم من المهدي إلى البحر. Don't say I'm 30 years old. I don't want to go to school. I'm not ready to study anymore. It's over. Don't say I'm 40, I'm 50. Don't say I'm 70 or 80. The journey begins when you are a little baby in the cradle. And ends where? In the grave. A person comes to the Prophet, he says, Ya Rasulullah, if I know there would be only 24 hours left of my life, I know I'm dying after these 24 hours, what is your suggestion? The Prophet says, اطلب العلم. Go and seek knowledge, study. Make yourself a better person through education. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, طلب العلم أفضل عند الله من الصلاة والصيام والحج والجهاد في سبيل الله. Seeking knowledge is more virtuous in the eyes of God than prayers, fasting, sacrificing, than going to Hajj and charity and almsgiving. Why? Because if you pray without understanding, would you enjoy the prayers? Huh? Would you enjoy the prayers? If you, صلى على محمد وعلى محمد. If you are given a foreign book written in German, in French, in Swedish, but you don't understand these languages, would you benefit from it? Would you? You would never benefit from it. You take it to the public library. It's the same with the prayers and fasting. Prayers and fasting and Hajj pilgrimage, they have a message, they have meaning. If we don't understand their meaning, if we don't absorb and appreciate the meaning of the prayers and fasting and Hajj, we would never enjoy them. This year in Hajj, I noticed two groups of people. Some of them were deeply enchanted, fascinated by Hajj. Others were bored and tired. Yes, some of them were bored. What is the difference? The difference is the first group, they understand the meaning of Hajj, they enjoy it. They don't care even if they walk 10 kilometers. They know why they were there. They know who is the host. They know what is the meaning of circumambulating around the house of God. This is a unique opportunity in their life. This is saying that God, you are the center of my life. All my feelings, all my dedication is for you. You are the center. Others did not appreciate this meaning. They did not enjoy Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عالم واحد أفضل من 70 عابد. One single scholar who disseminates his knowledge, his wisdom to the people and resurrects people's life is much better than 70 monks who shut the door and keep praying and praying and praying, only serving themselves. Because the alim, the scholar, serves others. The monk, he only serves himself. Allah says, I want to see your influence on others. I know it is good to worship me. But what is after that? The worshipping should inspire you, encourage you to help others. Did you help others? This is our message. And thus the hadith says, تَفَكُّرُ سَاعَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ قِيَامِ لَيْلَةٍ. Focusing on your studies, focusing on learning, discussing knowledge and wisdom and ilm, learning for 1 hour is better than standing the whole night in adoration and supplication. Because ilm changes your life. And I want you brothers and sisters to go for an in-depth knowledge. Our knowledge about Islam should not be superficial, should not be shallow. Brothers and sisters, you are my dear friends, and I have an honest suggestion, an honest advice to you. We should not be emotional followers of Islam. We should be intellectual followers of Islam. We should not be emotional believers in God and Ahlul Bayt, because we inherited this from our family members and fathers and mothers. We should be intellectual followers of Ahlul Bayt. There is a big difference. You know what the difference is? The difference, if you are an intellectual follower of Islam and God and Ahlul Bayt, wherever your family send you, wherever they send you, wherever they place you on earth, there is no fear on you. You would not revert to other religions. But if you are an emotional believer, because you saw your mother doing this, so I just learned this from my mother. I did not read a book. I don't even know the reason, the philosophy, the purpose of it. It was a family issue. It was a family tradition. Then when you send your son or daughter out of Dearborn, you send them to the East Coast, West Coast, they come back to you as atheists. Be very careful. You have to tap into the deep richness of Islamic knowledge, of the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt. And this needs dedication. You have to dedicate your time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا بورك لي في يوم تطلع علي شمس لا أتعلم فيه علما. May the day that breaks, where I don't get the chance to learn something in you, my life, may that day never be a blessed day on me. I hate that day. I'm not looking forward for that day. I need to learn everything. I need to learn a new thing with every new break of the day. With every new chapter in my life. The hadith says, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أن يرذل عبدا إذا أراد الله إذا أرذل الله عبدا حضر عليه العلم. If Allah wants to destroy someone, to lower him, to cast him off, He bans him to learn. He would never enable him or give him an opportunity to learn, to study. That is the worst punishment. Allah does not say, I don't give you food, I don't give you job, I don't give you health, I don't give you income. Allah says, I don't give you wisdom. I don't give you knowledge. You don't deserve it. You are not worthy of receiving ilm. That is the worst punishment. So let's learn something new. Imam al-Sadiq says, لَوَجَدْتُ أَنِّي ضَرَبْتُ رُؤُوسَ أَصْحَابِي بِالسِّيَابِ حَتَّى يَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Sometimes I wish that I can use violence. Violence with my disciples, with my companions, with my friends. I force them to go and learn. Force them. Imam never said, I force them to pray, or I force them to go to Hajj. But I force them to learn. We are the followers of a man called Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. We have to be proud of following him, and he has to be proud of us following him. But is he proud of us? Imam al-Sadiq was proud of some of his disciples, like Hisham ibn al-Hasan, Hisham ibn al-Hakam. Imam said, this is my favorite. Imam was enchanted by this man. Because this man was full of wisdom, full of knowledge. He dedicated his life to learn. to disseminate. He was in fact the spokesperson of the Imam. Imam was sent him to the east, to the west, to hold discussions and sessions of learning with others. Imam loved this man. Whenever Imam see Hisham ibn al-Hakam coming towards him, he would stand and embrace him. Because he did not have money. He did not hail from a very prominent family. But he had lots of knowledge and wisdom. He dedicated his life to learn. A man of learning. طالب العلم, seeker of knowledge. You know what the hadith says? Hadith says, وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضًا. The time you carry your books and you go to school, I know some of you are bored. Some of you don't want to wake up early in the morning and go to school. But you know what happens for this? For the male or female who go to school early in the morning? You know what happens? The angels, they lower their limbs as a sign, gesture of humiliation and humbleness to you. They lower their wings because you are going to learn knowledge. Because you are going to change yourself, increase your wisdom, learn something positive. This is the value of knowledge. And I want you, you are the followers of Ahlul Bayt, to take care of that. And third, and last, how many we counted so far? Two. What was the first one? Huh? Self-building, and second, seeking. What is the third one? Production, but not movie production. Production here means whatever you learned, whatever you received, you have to give. Allah says in Surah Ar-Rahman, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman wa'allama al-Qur'ana, khalaqa al-insana, allamahu al-bayan. God, the gracious, He created man, he taught him the Qur'an, and then He taught him intelligence and speech. Allamahul bayan. Why did God teach me intelligence and speech? Why speech? For gossiping? For tail bearing? Backbiting? No. Allamahul bayan. So whenever you learn something, you disseminate this. You pass it to your friends, to your community members. Allah says about the first man on earth, Adam alayhi salam. وَعَلَّمَ عَادَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah taught him also. There is a whole set of debate regarding الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. But what is meant by it, generally accepted by the commentators, is the wisdom, the knowledge. عَلَّمَ عَادَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ. Immediately when Adam learned and absorbed this, Allah said to him, قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Now I want you, since you learned, you took, now you have to give back. Production, production. Islam needs you in this continent. Islam needs your talents. Islam needs your wisdom. You have to pass it to others. We are not doing enough when it comes to preaching Islam. New York Times the other day said, you know how many Christian preachers we have in America? You know how many? Guess. Give me a number. Okay, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. 573,000 preachers in the United States of America. More than the population of the Kingdom of Bahrain. 574,000 preachers, Christian preachers in America. Some of these presidential candidates, you know some of them, they were ministers and preachers, Christian ministers. And he's becoming, God forbid, he's becoming a president in the White House. How many Muslim preachers we have in America? Do you know? All denominations, Shia, Sunni, Sufis, Sushis, whatever. How many we have in America, you know? They do not total 500. From coast to coast, all the imams, we have almost 2,000 mosques. But more than half, 60% of these mosques, they don't have a resident scholar, imam. They look for volunteers. One day, a taxi driver becomes an imam. One day, a doctor becomes an imam. One day, a surgeon. One day, a butcher. One day, a barber. Alhamdulillah, good collection. But we have only 500 Muslim preachers. And out of these 500, over half of them, they are physically in America, but mentally they are still in the Ice Age, the age of dinosaurs. He's only physically in America, but mentally he's in Yemen, he's in Somalia, you know. How many we have in the Shia tradition in America? How many preachers? Less than 100 for the school of Ahlul Bayt. It's very painful. One day, one of my brothers, we tried to make up a list of good, dynamic, inspirational, vibrant, intellectual Shia scholars or speakers or preachers in North America. We could not come to 10 names. We could not come to 10 names. It's painful. Don't take Islam for granted in America, as I said last night. Islam is going to move forward if you move forward. If you help Islam. Thus, brothers and sisters, Allah says in the Quran, فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ Allah is calling upon you. Some of you have to devote yourself to study Islam in depth, in a professional way, in a seminary, in an Islamic college, Islamic university, graduate with excellent degree, and come and preach Islam in America. Islam is in need to the homegrown preachers. Allah says in the Quran, whenever we send a messenger, an apostle to any community, we make sure that he speaks the language and he understands the mentality and the social fabric of the people. He understands how to deal with people. Because it's not all about knowledge. A preacher needs two things, or three things. Number one, piety. Number two, knowledge. And number three, something very important, the art of dealing with people. Sometimes you bring the most knowledgeable, but he does not know how to deal with people. Rather than pleasing people, he's going to offend people. He's going to insult people. This is not good. You don't want to offend people. Allah said to Musa, Musa, your job is to attract people to me. Try not to offend people. When they look at you, they love me because you are my representative. You are my vicegerent in earth. So I need to encourage you tonight, make a vow with Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. And some of you, you can do this. I said earlier, don't say no, don't say I cannot, don't say this is impossible. I don't have time to tell you how many thousands of great Muslim scholars and preachers, they came from normal background, not from intellectual background. Their parents were, their fathers were farmers, shopkeepers. They led a very humble life, but their kids, they delivered wonderful kids who brought wisdom and knowledge and leadership to the Muslim world. Make a vow with Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, and let's now go to him. Abu al-Fadl alayhi salam is the personification of ithar, altruism, of sacrifice, of steadfastness and fortitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about steadfastness. Allah says to Prophet Muhammad, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَعْدَ مَعْكَ Allah says to Musa and Harun, فَاسْتَقِيمَا وَلَا تَتَّبِعَانِ سَبِيلَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Allah says to us, to all the people, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا Look at the emphasis of istiqamah, uprightness, uprightness in the Qur'an, steadfastness in the Qur'an is deep-rooted. And the example for that was Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. There were lots of temptations around him. He was still young. He was only 33. He had a future. He had family. He had kids. He had a wonderful life in Medina. But he decided to move forward, to press forward. He decided to eternalize himself by giving his soul to Islam. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. You are making a deal with Allah. Shahada, you are not losing, you are gaining. Because who is buying from you? Not someone who has bad credit. The one who is buying from you is the one with the best credit. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, please give me your soul. إن الله اشترى. I'll give you the price. Don't worry about the price. أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. الإمام أبي الفضل عباس عليه السلام was the icon of compassion, of sacrifice. He stood with his brother to the last minute. His brother urged him on the eve of Ashura. Ya Abu al-Fadl, please take my family back and go, because I am the only one who is wanted by Bani Umayyah and Yazid. Why do you kill yourself for me? The first one to stand and say no. No, Ya Abu al-Fadl. No, Ya Aba Abdullah. I'm staying with you to the last minute, because I am seeking honor. I am seeking dignity. I am seeking life here. I don't want to lose this golden opportunity. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, رحم الله عمي العباس. May Allah bestow His mercy on my uncle al-Abbas. فَلَقَدْ آثَرَ وَأَدْلَى وَوَاسَى أَخَاهُ بِنَفْسِهِ. He sacrificed. He passed the test. He stood in solidarity with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. وَوَاسَى أَخَاهُ بِنَفْسِهِ حَتَّى قُطِعَتْ يَدَهُ. To the extent that he lost his two arms. فَعَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. God reimbursed him in paradise. فَعَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا بِجَنَاحَيْنِ أَخْضَرَيْنِ. With two beautiful green wings. يَطِيرُ بِهِمَا فِي الْجِنَانِ مَعَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ كَمَا أَعْطَى ذَلِكَ لِعَمِّي جَعْفَرَ. He has free access with these two wings in paradise. He can fly and move all over in paradise. وَإِنَّ لِلْعَبَّاسِ لَدَرَجَةً فِي الْجَنَّةِ يَغْبِطُهُ بِهَا جَمِيعُ الشُّهَدَاءِ. The position of this man, Al-Abbas, in paradise tomorrow is going to be the cause of envy for all martyrs. All martyrs are going to envy him when they look at him. Look at his reward and his position. Because he had a life alone ahead of him, but he decided to go with Imam Hussein to Karbala. Not only him, he gave four brothers with him. He said to his four brothers, or his three brothers from al-Banin, the other brothers, he said, listen, I want to see you getting killed before my eyes, so I have peace of mind. I know you don't change your mind here in the battlefield, then I will join you soon. And this is exactly what happened. He invited them to move forward one after the other, and he saw his brothers, three of them young, younger than him, giving their life. The kids of al-Banin, Fatma al-Kilabiyya, and then he decided to move after them. On the eve of Ashura, he was guarding the camp. His noble sister Zainab comes to him. He sees some darkness. He shouts, who's this? A voice, female voice comes back to him. Ana ukhtuka Zainab, don't worry. This is a familiar person. He says to her, Zainab, ukhtah, my noble sister, why you are outside the tent? I want you to stay inside. I want you to relax inside. I am guarding the tent. You are safe. She said, I came. I have a story. And I want to share this story with you. This is a very private story. Do you give me permission? He says, absolutely yes. I'd love to hear your voice tonight. This is the last night in his life. She said to him, Lamma matat ummuna Fatima. When my beloved mother Fatima died, My father stayed without a wife for many years because he was disturbed, he was distressed, he was saddened and shocked. Until many years after that, he called his brother Aqil, وَكَانَ رَجُلًا عَارِفًا بِأَنْسَابِ الْعَرَبِ. He knew the Arab families very well. He said to him, يَا عَقِيل, اخْتَبْ مِنْ بَأَةً وَلَدَتْهَا الْفُحُولَةُ مِنَ الْعَرَبِ. I want you to go and propose to a lady which has been produced and born in a family of magnanimity, bravery. He said, what do you do with her? He said, لِأَرْزَقَ مِنْهَا وَلَدًا أَتَّخِرُهُ لِيَوْمِ الشِّدَّةِ. I want to beget a son from her. I save him for the day of emergency, the day of distress. Then Zainab turned to Al-Abbas. She said, يَا أَبَا الْفَضْلِ, today is the day of emergency. My father created you for this day to stand with your brother Hussein to protect us. Abbas said to her, dear Zainab, my life, my blood, all my cells are for you, for the protection and the service of Islam and my beloved brother Hussein alayhi salam. He noticed on the day of Ashura that Imam Hussein is getting beleaguered. The cries and the shouting of the kids and women filled the air. He came seeking permission upon Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein refused, saying to him, أخي أنت حامل لوائي والعلامة من عسكري. You are the standard bearer of my army. You are the major landmark of my army. If you go, who is going to hold my army together? My army will be dismantled. So I want you to stay with us. Until Al-Abbas came back to him, he said, Ya Aba Abdullah, I can't wait. I am sick and tired of those hypocrites. Just give me permission to go and fight. Imam Hussein said to him, I would not give you permission to go and fight. But what you can do for us is to go to the Euphrates River and bring some water to the kids and women here. So he took the skin container, the water container with him. He moved towards the Euphrates, the river, and there they surrounded him from every direction. He dispersed them. He fought courageously until he was able to reach the bank of the river. He was exhausted and tired. He was very thirsty. When he reached the water of the Euphrates, he took a handful of water to drink because thirst took a toll on him. Suddenly he remembered the promise he made to his brother Al-Hussein, to the children of Imam Hussein in the camp. He refused to drink. He threw the water back to the river, saying this to himself, how can I drink this water, enjoy the water, while the kids of Imam Hussein are screaming, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, we are thirsty, we are thirsty. يا نفس من بعد الحسين هوني وبعده لك من تكوني هذا الحسين وارد المنون وتشربين بارد المعين تالله ما هذا فعال ديني ولا صادق اليقين. By Allah, I would never do this. I would never drink before my brother Hussein and his kids. So he filled the container and he moved. He mounted his horse, moving towards the camp. They surrounded him from every direction. One criminal laid for him behind the tree while Al-Abbas was moving. He hit him on his right arm. He severed the right arm. He stands in the middle of the battlefield, holding strongly to the water container. Wallahi in qata'tumu yamini inni uhami abadan an dini wa an imamin sadiqin yaqini. minutes later, Al-Abbas alayhi salam, he lost his left arm. When he lost his left arm, he stood there. They rained him with his arrows. One of the criminals came and hit him on his head. He crushed with a pin, he crushed his skull. He fell to the floor saying, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. After 33 years, the first time Al-Abbas addresses his brother by his name. Always he tells him, Ya Sayyidi. But this time, he said, Akhi Aba Abdullah, now I want you. Now I want my brother to come to my aid. Al-Husayn rushed to his aid. He finds him armless. His forehead ruptured. He said, Akhi Al-Aad in Kasara Bahri. وقلت حيلتي وشمت بعدوي. My backbone now has broken. My enemies are rejoicing at my fortune, misfortune. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. وسيعلم الذين بلغوا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم تقبل منا هذا اليسير بلطفك وكرمك، وعجل في فرج سيدنا مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان، وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.